you're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, a global outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose is to equip Christians in life and truth, encouraging you in your faith and equipping you intelligently to represent it to a world easily convinced by a corrosive culture intent on conquering your Christian faith. Equipped with truth in Christ, we're called to experience life to the full and witness to the world by His power working through us. This is a live program, and we invite your calls and questions, so dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
And with a reminder that you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, we get so many different questions in so many different ways. I want to start today with an email question from a man named George. And he asked me this question: did Christianity simply steal the virgin birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus from ancient pagan mystery religions? Well, my first and perhaps rather uncharitable response to this question is that it posits a ridiculous proposition. But nonetheless, it deserves to be answered. And I say that first and foremost because, as a proposition, it has become catastrophically popular in the broader post-Christian culture. Consider for a moment Dan Brown. He, of course, is the author of the wildly popular bestseller, The Da Vinci Code. And if he were asked to answer George's question, he would, without equivocation, pontificate that everything from Christ's virgin birth right up to his resurrection was taken directly from earlier pagan mystery religions, and that nothing in Christianity is original, that it's all a great big ripoff. And Brown is hardly unique. In recent decades, there have been lots of books and motion pictures and TV specials in which Jesus and the true origins of Christianity are made barely recognizable. In a book I co-authored with historian Paul Meyer, we called this the Jesus Game. And that game has been played ever since the pagan philosopher Celsus first articulated the narrative 100 or so years following the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord. And it's been played with great enthusiasm ever since. And that's particularly true in the present generation, and for good reason. Not only are post-truth people increasingly historically illiterate, but the internet provides unfettered access to unvetted ideas that multitudes are swallowing like fast food junkies. One such fast food offering was offered up by Nobel laureate William Butler Yeats, one of the foremost figures of 20th century literature. In Irish brogue, he proffered up the absurd notion that the virgin birth of Christ directly parallels the Greek mythology of Leda and the swan. As Zeus, having taken on the form of a swan, had intercourse with the virgin Leda, so the spirit overshadowed Mary in the form of a dove. In both scenes, divinities, by impregnating mortal women, intervene in and transform cultural history. As such, you have a bunch of nonsense, what St. Peter characterized as cleverly devised stories. In fact, the mystery religions are so named precisely because they revel in hype and emotionalism, but not so the New Testament authors. In sharp distinction, they passed along evidential history. For example, in 1 Corinthians 15, St. Paul reiterates a Christian creed that can be traced all the way back to the formative stages of the early Christian church. Scholars of all stripes have concluded that this very creed, the creed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, can be dated to within mere months of Messiah's murder. Now, the short time span between Christ's crucifixion and the composition of this early creed preclude the possibility of corruption in the form of legend. Moreover, liberals have the chronology all wrong. I say that because most mystery religions flourished long after the death of the apostles, and thus it would be far more accurate to say that the mysteries were influenced by Christianity than the other way around. Not only so, but to reject the virgin birth of Christ because it is out of step with materialist propositions is hardly enlightened. Miracles are not only possible, but they're necessary in order to make sense of the universe. Because according to modern science, the universe not only had a beginning, it is unfathomably fine-tuned to support life. And besides that, the origin of life, information in the genetic code, irreducible complexity in biological systems, and the phenomenon of the human mind pose intractable difficulties for merely natural explanations. And by the way, that's why I selected three resources this month that you can find for your support on the web at equip.org. All of this to say that reason forces us to look beyond the natural world to a supernatural designer, a designer who miraculously intervenes in the affairs of his created handiwork. So while many issues surrounding the miraculous birth of Christ, issues such as the precise modes of interaction between Christ's divine nature and his human nature transcend human understanding, the doctrine of Christ's incarnation does not transgress the laws of logic. And to understand the logical coherence of incarnation, you have to first consider human beings as icons of God, because God created humanity in his own image. The essential properties of human nature are not inconsistent with his divine nature. And thus, while the notion of Zeus becoming a swan is self-evidently absurd, the reality that God became man is not. George's question turns out to be a very important question, in that it's a sober reminder that those who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips must be equipped not only to counter the mythology of fabricators like Brown and Yeats, but must also be familiar with their own sacred historical realities. Historical realities such as those codified in Christian creeds, particularly those affirmed and articulated by the ancient ecumenical council of Nicaea and Constantinople, namely that Christ came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became man, that he was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate and suffered and was buried, and that he rose on the third day according to the Scriptures. Those affirmations didn't arise out of thin air. They were delivered through sacred tradition, the very holy traditions that gave us Scripture itself. Traditions that were passed from the apostles to the apostolic fathers, to every Eucharistic assembly. And that is throughout the world, both past and present. Bottom line here, George's question turns out to be a sober reminder that as we encounter skepticism, skepticism respecting the miraculous nature of Christ coming in flesh, we have the awesome responsibility to provide well-reasoned answers, and then to use our answers as springboards or opportunities to communicate the faith once for all, delivered to the saints. Good question, by email, and from George. We're going to be back on the other side of the break with answers to your questions. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And as we go to break, I want to once again thank all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. The resources available for those who support us this month are simply fabulous. Check them out on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more of the show, so please don't touch that dial.
If you feel that continuously standing for truth occasionally takes its toll on your spiritual batteries, welcome aboard. You're not alone. For a wonderful battery charger for you and your loved ones, you need to watch King of Creation, a stunning visual celebration of God's handiwork in the world around us. To receive your copy as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll return with more of Hank Hanegraaff in just a moment.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles, equipping you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The question, "What do you mean by that?" may be the most important question one could ask today. In this relativistic post-truth age in which words are systemically redefined to undermine the Judeo-Christian foundations of Western civilization, Christians must discern the meaning of words and learn to counter and redeem semantic distortions. Other topics include faithful living through COVID-19, Irenaeus and Christian teaching, winning the fight for religious freedom, vocation and performance in T.S. Eliot's The Confidential Clerk, the beauty of worship, aesthetics and truth, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Do you ever feel like throwing in the towel? Do you sometimes feel that the odds are so stacked against you that it's not even worth fighting for what you deeply believe in? Well, be comforted. You're not alone. As Vince Lombardi once noted, fatigue makes cowards of us all. The simple truth is that fighting the good fight takes its toll on all of us, and our spiritual batteries must be regularly recharged. And that's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a production of powerful meditation set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of this amazing King of Creation DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Mary in Cypress, Texas, listening on the web. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing good.
I have a question. Why did Jesus wait to visit Lazarus?
Well, you know, the text actually tells us that this is for the glory of God. In other words, the Son of God, God in human flesh, would be glorified through this miracle that takes place, this incredible miracle of Christ's death, or Christ's resurrection from death of his friend Lazarus. And, you know, of course, this was a miracle that was delayed in terms of the time in which it was actually performed, and the text tells us why this is. The text tells us that Lazarus is now dead for 4 days. Now, what does that mean? It means that no one could doubt the miracle, that no one could doubt the might of the Lord, which is now being seen by everyone. It's not instantaneously he dies and 5 minutes later he's resurrected. He's in the grave for 4 days before he's resuscitated. In fact, if you look at the text in John chapter 11, right around verse 40, you have Martha, the sister of Lazarus, who was dead, saying to Jesus, "Lord, by this time there is a stench. He's been dead for 4 days." So again, no one could have seen anything but the fact that a miracle by Christ had just taken place. And remember, there are all kinds of Pharisees and teachers of the law around who want to deny that Jesus is a miracle worker. So Jesus is, as it were, demonstrating that he is God in human flesh, and that when they do not believe, it's not because they cannot believe, but rather because they will not believe.
That really helps. I really appreciate that.
You got it. Thank you for your call. I have a Facebook question which I want to deal with because I think it is so incredibly important. It's from Serbia and from a man named Ivan, who says, "I'm an Orthodox theologian having a dispute with my friend Pavel, who is non-Trinitarian. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and he claims that the Bible nowhere speaks about the Holy Spirit as a person, but rather merely as the energy of God. And that there is no necessity of proclaiming the Holy Spirit to be a person. So my question is, are there any arguments from Scripture that would sufficiently convince anyone to believe and to see that the Holy Spirit is, in fact, a godly person? Thanks." So again, the question from Serbia, the answer, Ivan, yes, sacred tradition, including the Word of God, clearly affirms the divine personhood of the Holy Spirit as a distinct subject within the triune Godhead. Remember, in the Second Ecumenical Council, that's the Council of Constantinople, 381, the Church affirmed against Macedonians the equality, the single essence of God the Holy Spirit with God the Father and God the Son. In fact, if the Holy Spirit were less than true personal deity, our deification would be nullified. Why? Well, because the doer in deification is the Holy Spirit, with whom deified humanity joins its will so as to experience union with God. Let me put it another way. Any subordination of the Holy Spirit such that he does not possess an attribute common to the Father and the Son was understood by the council to be heretical and spell disastrous consequences for the doctrine of deification. And then in the creeds, the very symbol of our faith, the church confesses that we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the creator of life, who proceeds from the Father, who together with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who spoke through the prophets. So contrary to your friend's contention, the Bible and the creeds are very clear about the personal deity of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture conveys the very personal nature of the Holy Spirit when he tells his disciples, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said. And again, our Lord says, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And also consider this, that as the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is equated with God. When Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit, Peter pointed out that he had not lied to men, but rather he had lied to God. As well, the Apostle Paul, he equates the Holy Spirit with the Lord. He says, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And he goes on to say that we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, and we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit thus shares in the very work of God. He shares in the work of creation. Remember the text, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Spirit of God, the text says, was hovering over the waters. Likewise, the Holy Spirit shares in the work of Christ's incarnation. You have Matthew pointing out that Mary was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shares in the work of revealing the Word of God and inspiring Scripture. Peter, of course, prophesies that prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And as Paul teaches, all Scripture is God-breathed, a clear reference to the work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, and this is very, very important, Ivan, the Holy Spirit shares in the very attributes of God. The Holy Spirit is omniscient. The Holy Spirit is omnipotent. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. And the Holy Spirit is eternal. In fact, Paul identifies the Holy Spirit as the eternal Spirit through whom Christ offered himself unblemished unto God. So all of these characteristics and attributes of the Holy Spirit imply his conscious personhood. He is a distinct personal subject, likened to the Father and to the Son, such that when we speak of persons or subjects, we are speaking of identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead. In other words, the one true God of the Bible is one what and three who's. As the Athanasian Creed puts it, we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. So here, Ivan, and everybody listening in, you have the very important underscored truth in holy sacred tradition and in Holy Scripture that the Holy Spirit is a personal being, and that the Holy Spirit is equated with God the Father and God the Son. Not subordinate, he is equal to God the Father and God the Son. One God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. Great question. And, you know, these questions are significant because virtually every theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. Well, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question is answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And do remember the resources available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. They are absolutely astounding. Take a look at them on the web at equip.org, right behind Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Let's face it, life today isn't for the faint of heart, especially if you're swimming against a spiritual and cultural current that is headed toward the falls and gaining force. In fact, if you're fighting the good fight and seeking to be salt and light in your sphere of influence, you're going to get tired. We need to occasionally be still and let our hearts, minds, and strength be renewed with images of God's goodness and power. That's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a collection of powerful meditations set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of King of Creation on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org.